מה נורא המקום הזה? אין זה כי אם בית אלוהים וזה שער השמיים. ברשות מעלת המרא דאתרא, הרב לניאדו בנם של קדושים שיחיה, ברשות מעלת הרב וייטמן שיחיה לאורך ימים טובים, אמן. וברשות מעלת הרב הגאון הרב דשי, וברשות כל אחד ואחד כבי כבודו מעלתו, ברשות הרבנים החשובים, קהל קדוש, דברי תורה לעידוד נשמת מליה בת אולגה חפיף, רוח אדוני תניחנה בגן עדן, אמן. What I came to talk to you tonight here in São Paulo, Brazil, on my first visit. Isaac, when you made the Shehiyanu, I hope you had me in mind, because I feel such excitement to be in such a beautiful community. I must tell you, today I went to the Yeshiva Beit Yaakov. I went to the Yavne. I went and spoke to the ladies, and the men, and the club. Tomorrow I have a full schedule as well. Tonight in this magnificent synagogue. I'm in awe of such a beautiful synagogue. Beit Yaakov, after the great patron, Jacob Safra, alav shalom. I must tell you, I feel at home like I'm in Brooklyn. The hospitality of this community, the warmth, we share the same customs. Our parents and grandparents came from the same cities in Syria, Halab. We have the same traditions, and you have the same generosity and the same acceptance and tolerance. I'm very grateful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to visit this community, and I think that the timing could not have been more perfect. Please let me explain. When I came to talk to you tonight is not controversial at all. Actually, the topic that I chose is universal. Everybody agrees with this. They have no choice. I once spoke at a convention in Montreal, Canada, in front of young boys and girls from college. And I was trying to prove to them how important the Shabbat is. So I said, you are all students of science. So can anybody explain to me where they got a concept that a month has 30 days? Who made that up? Is that rabbinical? Is that from the Talmud? They said, no, Rabbi, it's science. I'm a rabbi. Could you explain it to me? They said, yes, the moon has a cycle. The moon waxes and wanes, and it takes 15 days for the moon to become full. That's when all the crazy people come out, the lunatics. And then the moon gets smaller and it disappears. The cycle of the moon is 30 days, and therefore we call that juncture of time a month. M-O-N of month stands for moon. I said, so it's not religious. No, it's not religious. This is universal. You cannot argue on science. But fine, I accept. Amen. I said, which rabbi made up the 365-day year? Rabbi? It's not a rabbi. 365-day year has nothing to do with religion. I said, please, teach me. Where did it come from? Hakam, science. He says, you know the sun? Well, the earth, it takes 365 days for it to make one complete revolution around the sun, and then it lands in the exact same spot. So that they call a year, which is 365 days. It's nothing to do with religion. Everybody agrees to this. I said, fine, it's a hadush. I said, I have one more question. Which rabbi decided that in a day there'll be 24 hours? He said, no, there's not a rabbi. It's science again. Please explain to me. 24 hours in a day? He says, yes. Hakam, the earth is rotating. The earth is spinning on its axis. And it takes 24 hours for the earth to make one complete revolution. So therefore, every time it makes a revolution, it's a new day. So it's science. So I said, great. I just have one more question, but I know the answer already. Just like the 30-day month is scientific, and just like the 365-day year is scientific, and just like the 24-hour day is scientific, so I shouldn't even have to ask the next question, but I'll just ask it to be nice. Could you tell me the science behind why there's a 7-day week? Who made that up? 7 days in a week. And there was silence. I said, who can explain it to me? Is it based on the sun? Is it based on the moon? And they're scratching their heads. 7 days. I said, and anyway, it's strange that you would make a week 7 days, because that would mean there's 4 weeks in a month with a remainder two. Why wouldn't you make an even number, like 5 days, so you have an even 6 weeks in a month? They said, no, we don't know the science. So I said, I'm going to tell it to you. Is it universal that the whole world believes in a 7-day week? Yes. Not only the Israelis believe it, but even their arch enemy, the Iranians, also believe in a 7-day week. The Ukrainians are fighting Russia, but one thing they agree on, there's 7 days in a week. So then the question is, where does it come from? And the answer is, it's universal. Page one of the Bible. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai et ha-shamayim v'et ha-ares u'bayom ha-shivi'i shabbat v'yinafash. And this is uncontested. Nobody argues on this. This is something that is universal. The only source for a 7-day week, even the atheists in China, they have a 7-day week as far as I know. Which means initially the whole world accepted this. This was considered pashut, it was considered simple. So therefore I'm very happy that the first speech that I can come in Brazil and make is something that is not controversial at all. It's something that the entire world agrees. We cannot agree on anything. But one thing is for sure, there are 7 days in a week, and it's based on a pasuk in Parashat Bereshit that God created the world in six and rested on the seventh. Shabbat is a universal topic. And I know many of you are business people. So I felt that it would be important for me to give you some business advice just as a gift. For your hospitality, I would like to give you a tip. Consider this insider trading. I have information that I'm willing to share with you that you will benefit greatly. This I heard from a great rabbi, the Admor Rav Shlomo Mizvil. He was a great tzaddik. And they would always come to the Admor for blessings. And one Friday night, somebody came to the Admor after he had made Kiddush. And he said, Rav, such and such a lady, Lo Aleinu, has the Mahala. Can the Rav make a Tefillah? The Admor Mizvil said, now you come. Why didn't you come before I made Kiddush? So the fellow said, what's the difference? Before Kiddush, after Kiddush? The Rav says, no. You don't know what the Gemara says? The Gemara writes in Shabbat, page 119. Kol ha-mitpalel be'erev Shabbat. Whoever prays in shul on Friday night, ve'omer vaychulu, and says the vaychulu, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv, ki'ilu na'asa shutaf la-hakadosh baruch hu b'ma'aseh bereshit. Whoever prays on Friday night and goes home and says the kiddush, God considers it as if you're his partner. Isn't that a good partner to have in life? To be partners with the Creator? And the Gemara says, if you keep the Shabbat correctly, and you start the Shabbat correctly with Knis and Kiddush, God says, you have me as your partner. So the Admor Mizvil said, We have a rule in business that if I tell my partner he needs to do something, he has to listen to me because we're partners. So before Kiddush, I always turn to God and say, I'm your partner, yes? I need this refuah, I need this yeshua. And then he said, and anybody can do that. If you want a yeshua, God says, you're my partner if you keep the Shabbat. Now I asked, how am I God's partner? He created the world. I wasn't there when he created the world. Unless you want to tell me it's a silent partner. But how could I be a shutaf for something that I did not involve myself? I didn't create the world. I'm not maintaining the world. What does it mean, shutaf? I'll explain to you. Many of you have businesses. Now, if you sell, for example, a certain product, well, you need somebody to advertise for you. Because if you don't have people advertising and publicizing that you sell a certain product, nobody will know that you have it. So God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, as the rabbi said. However, he did the work, but he needs somebody to advertise for him. We are the advertising agency of God. We publicize that reality to the world. We are involved in the commercial. We are involved in the publicity. That's the shutaf. And therefore, somebody that keeps the Shabbat, you now have a partnership, not with a rich man. You have a partnership with the Borei Olam himself. And once you have a partner, God says, well, listen, we're partners. I asked you to do something and you listened. So now you can ask me to do something and I must listen as well. So the Admor B'Zhevil said, you should have came before I said Kiddush. That's when the partnership is established. That's my advice on business. And now, I must reveal to you a great secret. What I'm telling you tonight is a chiddush that I never said publicly. This is a custom-made derash for this special event where the community has gotten together by the hundreds tonight in order to give honor to the Shabbat. It is not easy for me to travel. As many of you know, I have responsibilities back in New York. However, when I heard that the main event and the purpose of this visit is for the honor of the Shabbat, for the honor of the Shabbat, we must put everything on the side. There is nothing more pressing and nothing more important. And therefore, I made this long trip, of course, in honor of the Kahal, but it was the Shabbat that forced me and gave me no choice. I'm happy that I'm able to honor the Shabbat on a Monday. I don't have to wait till Shabbat. I can give the kavod to Shabbat even on the second day of Yom Sheni. Here's the secret. There was a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Ari. And he wrote a certain song. The custom of my grandfather was to sing this song every Friday night. Maybe some of you have the same minhag. I believe it was the minhag in Halab as well. The song was called Azamir Bishbachin. And we sing it. We say Shalom Aleichem. Then we say Eshet Chayil. Then we sing Azamir Bishbachin. Me'al Gofitrin. Me'akal Tappurin. Me'innun Kaddishin. We sing it. Line by line. In that piyut, Rabbeinu Ari writes, Yemina Usmala. Azaku Baruch. Ubenayhu Kala. He's talking about the Shabbat. Shabbat is like a bride, a beautiful bride. And he says, you have to the right and you have to the left, but in the middle is the bride. Arizal puts the Shabbat not at the end of the week, but he actually puts the Shabbat in the middle of the week. In America, we call it the weekend. But the Benu Ari said it, it's the weak center. Ubenayhu kala. And he explained that we believe the Shabbat does not begin on Shabbat. The Shabbat begins 3 days before. That's when we begin to feel the energy. So there's the 3 days before Shabbat. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's to the right of Shabbat. And then you have the 3 days after Shabbat, because it takes 3 days for the Kiddushah to dissipate. And therefore the 3 days after Shabbat are to the left of the Shabbat. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. You know what it's like? It's like the menorah. You have the three lights to the right, and you have the three lights to the left. Ubenayhu. And in the middle, that's the kala. That's the simple way to learn the song. Yemina, that's the days before Shabbat. Usmala, those are the days after Shabbat. Now, God willing, when you learn the book and you read halachot, you're going to learn that there's certain laws that begin 3 days before Shabbat, like getting on a boat. You learn about laws that apply 3 days after Shabbat, like making Havdalah until Tuesday. And in the middle is the Shabbat. But I was once privileged to hear a derashah from the former chief rabbi of Jerusalem and Eretz Israel, the great Gaon Rabbi Shlomo Amar, may he live and be well. And he said differently. He said, Shabbat is the greatest protection from our enemies. And you know it, we have a lot of enemies. I know you don't have the anti-Semitism in this country, thank God. But where I come from, it's becoming very uncomfortable. Tomorrow there's a big election in New York City. We pray for the best. But the one that is leading, Haman ben Hammedata, it can change the whole way we live. And it can impact us in a terrible way. Hashem Yirachem. We have enemies. So he said, Rabbi Amar, the main enemies that we have are from two nations. Bnei Yishmael, that would be the Arabs. And we know that very well. What a hard time we're having with that enemy these days. And then he said, Bnei Edom. After all, the exile that we're in now is Galut Edom. It's the fourth exile and final exile. It started 2,000 years ago when Edom destroyed the second temple. And that's not all they did. It wasn't enough for them to destroy the temple. But years after that, they committed an inquisition in Spain. And years after that, they committed a Holocaust in Germany. It's a terrible exile. They are sworn enemy. And the Rav said, they're jealous of us. We have a day of rest. Every religion copies us because we were the first. So therefore he says, when Bnei Yishmael came, they said, we need a Shabbat. But they said, we can't take the seventh day because the Jews took it. So they took the day to the right. They celebrate Friday. Friday is the Shabbat of Bnei Yishmael. The Christians, forgive me, they came along and said, well, we want a day also. Well, the Jews took Shabbat, the Arabs took Friday, so they went to the left of Shabbat, and they took Sunday. So Rabbi Amar said, Yemina Usmala. To the right we have Bnei Yishmael. To the left we have Bnei Esav. And what neutralizes our two enemies to the right and the left? Ubenayhu kala. It is the Shabbat. When we accept Shabbat, we don't wait until sunset. God bless the ladies, Nashim Tzedkaniyot. Our righteous ladies, they light the candles 18 minutes before sunset. Some do even more. That means we're bringing the Kiddushah of Shabbat into Friday. When you bring the Kiddush HaShabbat into Friday, you neutralize the enemy of Friday, Bnei Yishmael. And on Motzei Shabbat, we don't end Shabbat at sunset. We have what's called Tosefet Shabbat. If you come to our synagogue in Brooklyn, we end Shabbat much later than all the other synagogues. So somebody told me, Rabbi Mansour, why do you end Shabbat so late? I said, when you go to a hotel, don't you ask for late checkout? Shabbat is the best hotel. I want early check-in and late checkout. Where are you running? You want to go back to the weekdays? You want to go back to your cell phone? You want to go back to the problems of the week, to the mujaras? I want to keep Shabbat. And therefore we extend the Shabbat on Motzei Shabbat into Sunday. That neutralizes the enemy to the left. So what you're doing is not only benefiting the community, but it couldn't have come at a better time. You're actually benefiting Klal Yisrael, because we're getting bombarded from our enemies from the right and our enemies from the left. And Shabbat is the neutralizer. Shabbat is the mitzvah that's able to bring victory to those that celebrate Friday and those that celebrate Sunday. Therefore, the entire Jewish world owes this community a debt of gratitude for accepting upon themselves now more awareness. It will not only bring you beracha. Yes, it'll make you a partner with God, that's for sure. But it'll actually bring safety and peace to the Jewish people. For that, I thank you. But I'd like to say a bigger chiddush. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, page 41, it's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbat. And even if you have maids and servants and butlers, you should do something yourself. My rabbi was Hacham Baruch ben Hayim alav shalom. And I remember my rabbi, on Erev Shabbat, on Friday, he would go to the fruit store on Avenue U, and he would pick up the cantaloupe and the watermelon. He would bang it. He wanted to see if it was fresh. And then he would fill the bags, and he'd walk down Avenue U. He was our chief rabbi. And all the students would come, Hacham, let me carry the bags. He said, no, this is Kabod Shabbat. When the king or the queen is coming, nobody has kabod. Everybody must lower themselves in honor of the queen or the king. Shabbat Malketa. So the Gemara teaches us this. And the Gemara tells us there was a rabbi called Rava. What did he do? Rava Malach Shibuta. There's a fish. It's called the Shibuta fish. So Rava's custom was, he was a big rabbi. Rava's name is on every page of the Shas almost. He was a great rabbi, Amora. He had many students. But his job was to salt the fish. He could have told it to his servants. So every Erev Shabbat, he took a fish. The fish is called Shibuta fish. And he salted it. So I was trying to understand, what is this Shibuta fish? The Ben Ish Chai, the Ben Yosef Haim, writes in the Halakhot that in Baghdad they had the fish Shibuta, and they used to eat it every Shabbat. Some of the members of my congregation told me that in Halab they ate the Shibuta fish. I told them there was no water. Where did you get the fish? And they got it. So I wanted to know, listen, I believe, if a rabbi does something, there's kavanot, there's deep meaning. These tzaddikim, they didn't just do things superficially. Everything that they did was with deep kavanot. Why did Rava decide to salt the fish that was called Shibuta? The simple reason? Because Shibuta sounds like Shabbat. So therefore, he found the fish that has the same sound as Shabbat. So therefore, they bought Shabbat to remind everybody, we're eating the Shabbat fish. Very nice. Ashkenazim have gefilte the fish. He had shibuta fish, the Shabbat fish. I like the shibuta better. No disrespect. However, I would like to say a deeper interpretation in your honor. Tonight I came to explain the secret of Rava Malach Shibuta. And it's based on a midrash. Now I have to tell you, the midrash that I'm quoting you, there are some rabbis that are of the opinion that the midrash doesn't exist. So I have to be honest with you. I know you're going to research what I said and fact check me. I'm being honest. There are a lot of rabbis that say what I'm saying now, lo haya velo nivra, including a great rabbi called the Torah Temima. He says, don't believe this guy. There's no midrash. What does the so-called midrash say? It says, la'atid lavo. In the future, when Mashiach comes or whatever, there's going to come a time in Jewish history that the animal called the Hazir, am I allowed to say it in English, Hazir? I don't like to say that word. P-I-G. It's not my way to say these words. But you know what Hazir is. The Hazir is going to become kosher. The Hazir is going to become kasher. That's what the Midrash says. And the Midrash says that's why it's called Hazir. Because Hazir means to return. Now it's not kosher. It's the most unkosher. The Hazir is the symbol of non-kosher. But there will come a time after Mashiach comes and the Hazir is going to become kasher. I'll tell you my problem with this Midrash. And I said it today to the ladies, God bless them. Our Torah does not change. Lo yahalif ha'el velo yamir. Dato le'olamim lezulato. Our Torah is permanent. Our Torah does not have an expiration date. The laws of the Torah are eternal. So how could you come along and tell me that there's going to be a law that's going to change? I read to you what the great Rabbi Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Rav Chaim ben Attar. On the Pasuk in Parashat Shemini, he says, Veta Hazir, Ki Mafris Parsa. Yes, it has one of the two kosher signs. It has split hooves. Vehu Gera Lo Yigar. But the Hazir, Vehu, this Hazir does not chew its cud. Says Or HaChaim, this Hazir doesn't chew its cud. Vehu, that sounds like there's going to be another Hazir that is going to chew its cud. According to Rav Chaim ben Attar, it's not that the Torah is going to change, the Hazir is going to change. And I quote you his words. Vehu gera lo yigar pirush. Tenayhu, it's a condition. Kol zeman shehu lo yigar. As long as it doesn't chew its cud, it's not kosher. Aval la'atid lavo ya'ale gera. The Hazir is going to change its nature and it's going to chew its cud. V'yachzor lihiyot mutar. He believed in the midrash, and then he says, "Velo sheyishaer belo gera." God forbid! Don't think that the Hazir is going to remain without its kosher signs. Ki haTorah lo tishtaneh, because the Torah will not change. So, I was happy when I saw that Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He believed that there's such a midrash like that. So we have something to look forward to. I personally do not look forward to this. But there's some people, they love to eat foods that taste like non-kosher products. When I was in Lakewood Yeshiva studying Torah, one of the boys came for breakfast and he brings on the table, could you believe, in Lakewood Yeshiva, kosher bacon. I said, what is this over here? What is this over here? How could you bring this to the yeshiva? But it's kosher. How could it be kosher? Why do you have a desire for this? Why do you have such a perverted desire to eat the taste? So at the time I told him, I said, you know what? Maybe this is what it means that la'atid lavor, the hazir is going to be kosher, meaning you're going to have kosher bacon. So I did some research on this. And I found something amazing. There was a Rebbetzin in the Gemara. Her name was Yalta. Yalta was the wife of Rabbi Meir. And one day Rabbi Meir gave a shi'ur and he told the Talmidim, whatever the Torah says is forbidden, there's a way to make it kosher. So she was impressed. She said, really? She said, well, listen, if you're right, my dear husband, ba'ina lemechal basar behalav, I want to eat a cheeseburger. Now, is there a kosher version of a cheeseburger? Basar behalav. The Mimi'ir said, that's an easy one. He told his chefs, go bring my wife the udder of a cow. Now, the udder of a cow has milk in it. According to the halakha, the way you kosher it is you cut it into four pieces, you press all the milk out, and you roast it. It's kasher, but it still has the flavor of the milk. So that's a kosher cheeseburger. You eat the kahal, the kahla, the udders of the cow. Sahtein, enjoy. Bon appetit. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but what about if somebody wants to eat hazir? Is there a kosher version of hazir? Now watch what the Gemara says. Yes. The brain of the shibuta fish. The shibuta fish tastes like hazir. That's what the Gemara Hulin says. Now I'm perplexed. Rava went to eat a fish on Shabbat. Not any fish. Rava malach shibuta. He wanted to taste hazir on Shabbat. Why? We don't want to taste hazir during the week. And he waited for Shabbat to eat a fish that has the taste of hazir. This is Rabbeinu Bahya. Rabbeinu Bahya says something incredible. This is a tremendous chiddush. He says, there are some people that believe that the hazir will become kosher. He says, I'm not so sure. If they want to believe it, good luck to them. But I will tell you what that midrash means. And he says, you know who the hazir is? The hazir represents the galut of Esav and Edom. Edom, Esav, that's the hazir. There's four animals that the Torah mentions that are not kosher. Each one of those animals represents one of the four exiles. And the hazir represents the final exile, which we're in now, Galut Edom. That's the hazir. So Esther ben Ubahya, why is he called the hazir? So he writes, Aval habayit hashilishi, the third Bet HaMikdash that we're still waiting for, Atida umazu libnoto. Who's going to build it for us? Esav. וזהו שאמרו, עתיד להחזיר עטרה ליושנה, לפי שהוא החריבו. Who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash? The Romans. So says the Ben Ubachya, the Romans destroyed it, now they have to return it to us. They're the Hazir, because they're going to return the glory of the Jewish people to its original place. And then he writes, אבל ביעור העניין על הכוח שלו, the power of Esav, שהוא מצר לישראל. They were the number one enemy of Israel. Look what they did over the past 2,000 years. Look how much Jewish blood has been spilt by the Hazir. But then he says, ולעתיד, ישוב עם שאר כל הכוחות. Esav and its leader. Now what I'm saying now, you don't have to believe me. Who is the leader today of the Malchut of Esav? Well, if America is considered the greatest superpower of Esav, then its leader, with his red hair and his ways, the President of the United States, President Trump. Today he represents the leader of Esav. And the Ben Ubachya predicts that before Mashiach comes, Esav is atid to do what? I quote, V'la'atid yashuv im sha'ar kol ha'kohot. He's going to come with all the other powers. La'azor v'litmoch le'Yisrael. To support and to help Israel. That's the Hazir. I'm sure you saw what happened on Hoshana Rabbah this year. On Hoshana Rabbah, the day where the judgment is sealed, the leader of Esav flew to Eretz Israel, stood in front of the Knesset, and then went to Egypt with all the kohot, like the Ben Ubachya says, and signed a treaty for the benefit to bring peace to Eretz Israel. This is the Hazir. We are witnessing the Hazir returning and making amends on his crimes. But why now? There was a great rabbi called Gaon Mevilna. He writes in his commentary on the book of Kohelet. Kohelet was King Solomon. He was the wisest of all men. In chapter 4 of Kohelet, King Solomon has a famous chapter. That's the chapter that referred to as there's a time for everything. In Hebrew, the way you say time is et, ayin taf. And he says there's a time for everything. Et laharos, is a time to destroy. Et libnot, is a time to build. Et sefod, is a time to eulogize. Et rekod, is a time to dance. Et lizroah, is a time to plant. Et laakod, is a time to uproot. And he goes through 28 different times. Now, I always understood the 28 times refer to 28 times in the cycle of life. He starts off, there's a time to be born. We all experience that. There's a time to die. Take your time. Ad me'ar ve'eslim. So if you look at the 28, it seems it goes through the cycle of life. But the Gaon Mevilna said, the 28 etim that Shlomo mentions is not referring only to an individual life, but it's referring to the cycle of the world. The world cannot exist for more than 6,000 years. And the Gaon Mevilna says that if you take the 28 times and you divide the 28 times into 6,000, because all of time is 6,000. He says you will get 214. I did the math before I came. So every 214 years, we move and transition from one et to another et. The 27th et is et la milhama. It's going to be a time for war. After that is the last time. Now the last time means in the last 214 years of the world will be what King Solomon says, et leshalom. Now when is the last 214 years of the world? Well, we are now in 5,786. There is exactly 214 years left for the world. According to the Gaon Mivilna, we have officially entered a time of peace. Oh, it's not enough for you? I give you credit. When I heard this, I fell out of my seat. But you have so much discipline and self-control that you can hear such a hiddush and a prophecy of the Gaon Mivilna and you're able to hold on and maintain your balance. Kol hakavod. I must tell you this because I know you're going to fact-check me. And I know some of you have fact-checked me already. And you took out your phones and you're doing the math. 28 into 6,000. It's really not 214. It's 214.2857. You got me. So Rabbi, what do you do with the .2857? So the truth of the matter is, if you want a precise time, when the last Et Leshalom began, it's actually in the year 5,785, which was last year, .714. Now what is .714? That's 253 days into the year, last year. I did the math before I came. That is June 13th. That's exactly what the decimal point, 5785.714, is June 13th. That's when we officially entered Et Shalom. And what happened on that day? That's the day we began the 12-day war against Iran. And that war ended with America coming and bombing the nuclear reactors. And what did President Trump say on that Motzei Shabbat after he bombed the reactors? He didn't come to this class. I promise you he didn't know the Gaon Mivilna. But he said, and you could Google it and search it, it was the front pages of all the newspapers in America. Time for peace. Atid ha-hazir la-hazir et ha-atara li-yoshna. We're witnessing the hazir. We're witnessing Galut Edom return the glory that it took from us. And therefore, it is the Shabbat that protects us, like the Arizal said. Yemina usmala, what protects us from this is the Shabbat. And therefore Rava, every Shabbat wanted to taste the Hazir. Because he knew in the merit of the Shabbat, Atid Hazir, La'azir et ha'atara li-yoshna. So when he ate the fish, he said, Rabotai, you taste it? Daddy, this is what Hazir tastes like. Forget about Hazir. This is a symbol to Esav. And by keeping Shabbat, Et Shalom is hinting to us, Shabbat Shalom. The Shabbat brings us to this peace. And therefore, I have no doubt that as we enter the last phase of the creation of the world, Et Shalom, all of a sudden this community has an idea. Now we have to have an initiative for Shabbat. Why now? Now you know the reason. Because in the final phase, it's going to be the Shabbat that protects us from the ones to the right and the ones to the left. And it started already. And therefore now is the time of Shalom. And Shalom is hinted to us in Shabbat Shalom. That's why we say Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. We're hinting to everyone, it is the Shabbat that's going to bring the Shalom. And if you could find the Shibuta fish, please buy me one. I'd love to start eating it on Shabbat as well. I'll even salt it, like Rabbi did. In order to remind everybody the power of this day. So, congratulations. You have officially made partners with God. You can ask Him for whatever you want. You have accepted the universal day of seven, where everybody agrees, not because of anything scientific, like the month, or the year, or the day. You've accepted upon yourself the testimony of God of 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest. But the keeping of Shabbat kahalacha now is so pivotal and so strategic, because now it has ramifications for our safety and security. And that's what the rabbis mean when it says it is in the merit of Shabbat that we're going to be redeemed. It's because it is the Shabbat that is going to relieve us from our enemies and ultimately bring us to Geulah. I know it's Monday, but I will tell all the members that are here tonight, Shabbat Shalom Umeborach. Thank you very much.